Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. Whatever you are, I know that we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth about what's going on here in this crazy, confusing, chaotic world? So welcome to the 618th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of this message today is Endgame Update number 34. And folks, a bit later in this message, stay tuned because we're going to tie it into all that is true and all that is false. Now, if it's false, it's dangerous. And the world's full of dangerous doctrines. St. Peter warns us about false teachers. So that's what we're going to learn about today, false teachers, also known as false prophets. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So I hope you stay tuned to learn how to discern that which is authentic and that which is from God and that which is inauthentic and that which has a curse upon it from God. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world and we're just God's people passing through. So let's all be in a absolute state of noncompliance as we refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And stay tuned to find out the latest news that the mainstream will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, how did it all get started? It all got started by that lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we do every week, let's look at something from last week's episode. So last week, folks, we dove into the fires in Maui, and to be honest with you, that story keeps getting creepier and creepier. Now, there's a new clip out this week, and I don't know if you heard it, so what I want to do is I want to play it for you, and I think it does a very good job summarizing all of the, scheming that's going on back behind the scenes. And that is exactly what's happening in this entire Maui narrative, folks. These people that are behind this need to be prosecuted and locked up for mass murder. I mean, there's like 2,000 young children that still haven't been accounted for. They're not in the public schools right now. So are they lost by this fire, this tsunami of fire? Or are they just out of school right now because their parents don't trust the institutions anymore? Whatever. These are crimes against humanity, folks, and we'll continue to stay on top of this as long as it takes. But these are the people that are trying to run our world. And what we, the people, need to do, remember, we outnumber them by orders of magnitude. We need to stand up and say no. So let's listen to this new video that's out there, giving you some of the backstory on what's going on with the billionaires trying to scoop up this portion of Maui.
When we sounded the siren that night, we were afraid that people would have gone mauka. And if that was the case, then they would have gone into the fire.
We have a statewide alert and warning system, which we also call SAWS.
That involves not only the siren warning system, but as well as IPAWS. IPAWS is the Integrated Public Alerts and Warning System provided by FEMA. We also use sirens for hurricanes, brush fires, flooding, lava, hazmat conditions.
There you have it, folks. The Hawaiian government's own website says that the sirens should be used for fires.
Before we dig into what appears to be a globalist first-strike genocidal crime scene in Maui, who are the vested interests in the multi-million-dollar Lahaina property? After the state of Hawaii, Alexander and Baldwin is the second largest landowner on Maui at over 65,000 acres, and the U.S. government is the third largest landowner at over 33,000 acres. Alexander and Baldwin's largest shareholder is BlackRock Incorporated. Meanwhile, billionaires within the World Economic Forum Bilderberg Network have been forcing the locals out.
So now a billionaire comes in with his money, doing it by force, removing people out of their land.
Mark Zuckerberg, to ensure his privacy, is trying to sue Native Hawaiians that live in Kauai so he can steal their land and build a mansion, just because he can.
There are feelings of both angst and excitement as Lanai'i residents prepare to welcome new billionaire owner Larry Ellison.
It didn't take long before people who previously lived on Lanai were forced out of their jobs and forced out of their homes just because Ellison had a different vision for the future of the island.
We asked the governor to amend the emergency proclamation to ensure that Chapter 92 Sunshine Law remains in full force. The governor should ensure that all decisions about the rebuilding of Lahaina are made in the open and with full participation of our Lahaina community.
What have you heard of real estate investors already contacting survivors?
It was actually like day four that people started reporting that they were getting calls, actually from Maui realtors, but there was a press conference just held, I believe, yesterday. I'm going to have to catch up on it, where they did say that there was many developers there that were saying they should void the permit process, and Hawaii has an extensive permit process. To build anything here is like, it's like pulling teeth. Governor Josh Green has saying he's going to put a moratorium on selling because he's trying to, I think, take the light off of him. But we know that something, it's more nefarious going on.
It's important that we're honest about this. People have been fighting against the release of water to fight fires.
He suspended the water code in Lahaina due to the fires. He's suspended certain other provisions of law in the housing proclamation. And in his comments on Monday, he specifically alleged something that I've never heard to be the case, that people are fighting against the provision of water for firefighting across Hawaii.
Deputy Water Commissioner had allowed millionaires and developers to divert that water to themselves, the same water that wasn't used for 5 hours to fight the fire in Lahaina. Reportedly, new permit applications that locals had been fighting for and won were due to be submitted the day before the Maui fires.
You know, we all need water to live, but it requires true conversations about equity, like water equity.
The minions of Agenda 2030 immediately descended as locals report that those whose homes survived are being given eviction notices while developers in league with insurance companies circle the ancestral village of Lahaina.
That's a whole group of people that we have to get to do that. The landlord had to go to the court, file a petition, and then manage to get that done in under a week, and we can't get aid.
And what's more frightening is, FEMA and what we fear with these land grabs is that they're going to go in and they're going to just declare the land uninhabitable. And when they do that, then it's going to give the state of Hawaii, the constitutional rights to take that land.
Now the ball is in the court of the globalists. You must prove to the people that this wasn't a premeditated genocide of the native people of Maui and a Pearl Harbor-style attack on the United States of America. Because all signs point towards a full-blown land grab by BlackRock, the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, and the American government in order to jumpstart Agenda 2030 and usher in the technocratic smart city nightmare.
So what do you think about that, folks? A lot of people may hear that and say, well, no way, Bro Ken. You're just out there looking for a conspiracy under every rock. Oh, really? Then I'd like you naysayers out there to explain this next coincidence to me, okay? Now, Mountain Dew cans have been used for decades to predictively program the masses. all the way back to Code Red in 2000. I don't know if you remember that. 2001 came out. Code Red came out, I believe, in May. And then we had the 9/11 scam in September. And then they had this coding system. And Code Red was the highest alert status, you know. The Department of Homeland Security had this Code Red. Isn't that strange? 4 months earlier, the PepsiCo company with their Mountain Dew brand came out with Code Red. And there's story after story after story like this concerning their new product releases. There's a Maui can, the Baja Blast cans. And my sister-in-law, Sue, sent me this next clip from a vlogger on YouTube that goes by the moniker The Donut Factory. Now, he's a little bit of an animated character, but I took a clip out of this video, and you ought to check out this guy. He's got a lot of the symbology down very pat. And that's how a lot of these occultists and these people in power speak to each other, through their signs and symbols. So let's have a listen to what the Donut Factory's take is on these predictive programmings that are going on through some of our mass marketing for something as innocuous as a beverage like Mountain Dew.
Make it crazy wild. And it's connected to 50 Cent. Yes, 50 Cent. So the space lasers, the Mountain Dew, what's up with this? It's called priming in psychology. Yes, we get wicked smart. We're going to go over psychology. Predictive programming maybe might sound a little too crazy, as the word conspiracy theorist was created to from these intelligent agencies. So if somebody brings something up, they automatically are like, oh, it's fake. Well, I think the word stretching was created by the intelligence agencies as well. You say, oh, that's a stretch in the comments. People are going to be like, I'm not going to listen to it, just like conspiracy. So that's my theory. I came up with that on my own. I think that the word stretching is created by the intelligence agencies. But priming is the idea that exposure to one stimulus may influence a response to a subsequent stimulus without conscious guidance or intention, the priming effect. So if you say the word doctor, for example, the word nurse, I'll say it again. For example, the word nurse might be recognized more quickly following the word doctor than following the word bread. It is priming. That is what's going on. And this has been going on way before Mountain Dew, Maui Burst, Maui Blast. This has been happening before with the Code Red. Yes, you're hearing it first. The Code Red Mountain Dew was released in 2001. As you can see right here, Code Red released in 2001. What happened in 2001? Well, you had 9/11, where the Homeland Security Advisor System hit Code Red severe. And also in 2001, before that, there was a Code Red computer worm. Yes. An Illuminati computer worm. We've been covering the worm is Satan here on this channel. Code Red came out in 2001, the drink. So this has been happening. This priming has been happening for this Maui blast has been happening right here. And look out for the solar flare. I mean, they got a lot of scary ones, pitch black. Here's another thing. This is what you gain here at the Donut Factory. So smash that like button because we've been pointing out stuff before everyone else does. But the pitch black got the satanic hand gesture. Yeah, you hearing it first. The satanic horns that Elon throws up out there when he goes to Texas. But this is what it's leading to is a event where the grid goes down. The grid goes down, and there's a lot of warnings right now with this hurricane that's happening. So prayers out to everybody. Make sure y'all stay prepared and do some prayers for everybody because who knows what's going to happen. But Code Red computer worm happened in July, and they named it because they were drinking Mountain Dew. And then that is when the terror alert went to the code red. So you can see this example of priming has been going on with Mountain Dew for quite a long time. And Mountain Dew is based out of the 36th parallel. All the rituals that have been happening this year are part of the 36th parallel. Right here, here's their outpost out there in Tennessee. That's why I'm looking out for Young Buck from Tennessee, Tennessee. That'll probably be going through a ritual with 50 Cent. As Hawaii is the 50th state, and on the 50th year of hip-hop, there was the fire in Maui. Huge connection to 50 Cent as he's on tour, and I know he's not popular anymore, so those videos aren't getting a lot of views, but it's well worth checking out. And shout out to 50. So Mountain Dew, solar flare is another one. That's freaky. Black one is freaky with the satanic hand gesture. You even got Hurricane Dora turning into a typhoon. Well, Mountain Dew got the typhoon as well. And this is all from the Belluminati, Taco Bell. Taco Bell's Belluminati right here. That 50 Cent. There's a connection there with 50 Cent and Doja Cat. So let's start off with a quote, because we like to go into the real deal facts here on the channel while we do the Stretch Armstrong stretching. Let's go to a quote from Gorbachev, who says with the other occultist that was a president, Reagan, who did things on astrological alignments for people who say, oh, the astrological alignments don't mean anything. Well, your presidents think so. I mean, America was built off of Sirius, and it's kind of interesting because George Bush and 50 Cent got the same birthday. Yes, as we're going into the Ember rituals. So shout out to everybody who was on the Patreon yesterday. We did an amazing stream about the Ember rituals. You get a lot of this information first up there. So Gorbachev, who says they're going to pause the Cold War for an alien invasion, we're hearing about all this alien nonsense happening. He says this about weather events. The threat of environmental crisis will be the international disaster key to unlock the new world order. So these crazy events that take place, like these hurricanes, will unlock the new world order. Interesting. So Baja Blast, Mountain Dew, check out Baja. They got the Royal Arch and the Omega right here. And they even got this Royal Arch here. That's like a famous sightseeing place. But this is in Baja where the hurricane's happening. I mean, can you make this stuff up? The Baja Blast right here, Baja, California, headed that way. Sponsored by the Belluminati. I'll go to
Now, I don't know what you think about that, but these Mountain Dew connections are simply crazy, folks. Now, he did this video before Hurricane Hillary hit Baja, California, Baja Blast. Now, you may be saying to yourself, well, how could some company owned by PepsiCo, how could they possibly do anything? He refers to it as priming. I call it predictive programming or revelation of the method. How could they possibly coordinate all this? Well, remember, we covered Davos on here where they all get together, they being the rich movers and shakers, the investors, the CEOs, the media moguls, the weathermen, all of these people. And remember, we talked about Sun Valley, Idaho. And then don't forget about Bilderberger. That's how they do it, folks. And it's in their sick little minds that they need to do this to be righteous. They don't stand in the righteousness of Christ. They're standing in their own feeble self-righteousness, but that's why they do it. You know, that Baja Blast label looks just like a hurricane swirling. And I posted some of these on the banner over at Blog Talk Radio where we host this. So I'm encouraging you folks to check it out. I know it seems crazy, but the more it's in our faces, it just seems to me like you see more and more evidence of so many people being asleep. And it's going to take people like you and me to wake them up. Now, you have to use a little bit of discretion on how you do that. But nonetheless, folks, it's going to be up to us to wake them up. So pray about it and then wake your fellow man up. But we have to keep moving. And right now it's time for Sister Kathy's and Brother Alex's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as we do each and every week, let's get started with our coronavirus heist update. And stay tuned, folks, because this one's a real shocker.
The coronavirus, COVID-19, what call it? Pandemic, the coronavirus, it's a scandemic. They call it the great equal life. And say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all...
No, it ain't either you or me, folks. And it ain't even us and Mike Adams and some of these other big names on the alt media. Just as I suspected, folks, just as I said, and I was questioning this, I was. Folks, Mike Adams was wrong, dead wrong about Karen Kingston. She wasn't having a psychotic event as the side effects of some anti-malarial drug. Remember? Remember I said think critically about this? Why would a woman that understands the duplicity, the lies, the scheming of these big pharmas, why would she ever consent to a big pharma drug to address side illness from malaria? Why? Well, she didn't do it, folks. Karen was hoodwinked by a private security firm. So I'd like you to hear Karen give an update. This was from last Sunday. And since then, she's also put out more information. And there is something going on here that is very sad. And it's happening in the alt media with some of the big names that everybody knows and trusts. People like Mike Adams, Alex Jones. I'm even going to throw Maria Z into there because I'm just starting to question a lot of this. My good friend Seth has so many images which correlate to some of these vessels that are needed to transport this nanotechnology. It's falling out of the skies from the chemtrails. It's in the dew. It's in the dust. And yet there's dead silence when he reaches out to Maria Z. And I'm going to propose something a bit later, but right now, let's listen to Karen Kingston give us an update from last Sunday.
Hi, my name is Karen Kingston, and today is Sunday, August 20th, 2023. And I am making this video to let everyone know that I am okay. I feel safe for now, right now. And I'm going to write an article, but I wanted people to see that this is me. The reason why I have the hat on is I have so many gray hairs. I just figured I'm going to cover it up with this black hat. And I know this is not the best look for me right now, but I want you guys to know that it's me. And I want to apologize to friends, to family, to colleagues, to readers, to those that support me for the worry that I've caused. I'm not going to go into detail about what's happened over the last 30 days. I think the expression that truth is stranger than fiction definitely applies. I've gotten treatment. I'm feeling much better, and I plan on returning home soon. And I plan on one of the things I learned is I plan on really focusing on my family and time with my son. I did get to speak to my son today for just over a half hour, and I spoke to his father as well. And I'm very thankful for both of them for their support, as well as support from my other family members. I disconnected from a lot of people because I literally lost my phone and got rid of it. There were other individuals that I blocked. It was not personal, but the blocking people, I just didn't want any signals coming through that I could get tracked on. So that's that explanation for that. But I appreciate everyone's support. And I will be back online. And again, you know, the focus on life is living, right? It's living life, it's loving those that you're with. And that's going to be a big part of my priority moving forward. And I can tell you I am here today because of God, because of my faith in Christ and the protection that God has provided me. I have been praying Psalms 141 over and over again. So the power of prayer works, and I'm very grateful for all of you who have been praying for me and praying for my family. So thank you. I love you all, and you know, we'll be having more discussions soon, and focusing on living your life, you know, the way life's meant to be lived, which is loving one another and caring for one another. Thank you.
Our prayers go out to Karen Kingston, folks, and that Psalm 141 was a Psalm of David, and it opens, "I call to you, Lord, come quickly to me, hear me when I call you. May my prayers be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn into what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds. Along with those who are evildoers, do not let me eat their delicacies." I encourage you to go out there and read that psalm, folks. It's a powerful psalm. I read the first four verses to you. There's six more. Read it and make it part of your heart. Like I said last week, when we hear stories like Mike Adams was spreading concerning Karen and this allergic drug reaction, you got to think critically. Why would a woman with her knowledge do such a thing? Especially when there's tried and true, proven treatments out there for malaria. They already exist. There's the old hydroxychloroquine, and the even older quinine, which is one of the, precursors, or the way that the actual drug hydroxychloroquine was developed. So I'm really beginning to wonder about people like Mike Adams now, folks. At least to me, it seems like something's changed with Mike. I've just noticed it. I can't really put my finger on it. Could it be that Mike's a false teacher, spewing facts, frivolous, really facts, but not the truth? Well, I hope you stay tuned to the end of the show, where we're going to wrap up this message with a look at the difference. We're going to wrap up what we started last week concerning the difference between truth and facts, and then learn how to spot these false teachers. You know, someone who's always heavy on the facts, but light on the truth, folks. Now, there's a very interesting blogger out there on YouTube that I stumbled upon last week while researching. Remember the clip we played from the SGT report with Sean? We had Hope and Tyvon on there giving their update. Well, in one of the comment sections, I found this reference to Sabrina Wallace. Now, she's a former high-level networking and systems specialist, and I believe she worked for the feds. Now, hold on before you tune her out, because we're going to listen to something. Now, she may sound a bit manic, and she's certainly unfiltered, and she says it as she thinks it, and she's got some crazy mannerisms about her, but listen to the message and not the mode of delivery, so to speak. And what I did when I heard that, because of something she cited out of IEEE, and we're going to get into that more in a bit later in the show, but she was a breath of fresh air, folks. Because Sabrina is seeing what I'm seeing concerning information control in the alt media, especially with good old Mikey Adams, as she calls him, not me, him. Now, I've been calling what I'm seeing out in the media an end run against free speech. And it's an end run by omission and some censoring. She was censored on Brighteon by Mike Adams for calling out, I forget who she called out. I don't know if it was Malone. She called out somebody, and Mike Adams, oh, Steve Quell. She was calling out Steve Quell, and she got deplatformed for that. Now, think about it for a minute. Who in the alt media is actually talking about biosensors actively deployed as we speak right now? Do you know anyone? Well, Sabrina is. And I could think of two others that are alluding to it and probably getting to that point. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with their voice when they start. And I think Karen Kingston was on that track when she got side railed by Mike Adams. But there's Hope and her husband Tyvon. And then, you know, they've got all the Oregon Tech out there. And then there's Celeste Sloan. And we'll see what happens to those two. So keep an eye on them. Now, the key to all of this is that we do have this thing known as body electric. It's an aura, so to speak. The Russians proved that 75 years ago, 100 years ago, with the Carillion photography. And you're going to see a bunch of naysayers out there. But let's have a listen to Sabrina Wallace as she calls out Mike Adams for his character assassination of Karen Kingston. And just, you know, give her some grace. She's a little rough around the edges. But I believe she's right on. So let's have a listen to Sabrina Wallace.
Well, I'm sure we all expected that Mike Adams was going to make a comment about Karen Kingston. And his main Brighteon channel obviously hosted it. This one is here on the BitChute. But I'm over here on band.video, and I'm going to start at 4 minutes where Mikey makes it real clear that he interviewed Karen Kingston. Mr. Kennedy, I beg of you to please talk to Dr. Robert Malone and not have me killed. So he's going to mischaracterize her concerns. And then he's going to say that he and Mr. Malone are tired of talking about vaccines and that that was really what the conversation was. I mean, Malone and Mike Adams, they're just tired of talking about vaccines. And then he's going to go into what multiple ham radio, radio frequency, and the rest of you electrical liars who call yourselves engineers do to the people that say, hey, you should call the sheriffs and have them stop injecting people. Well, there's a problem with that. I said in regards to the gig, and I recommended Karen, I would not call it a demon field like Mikey Adams probably advised you to. And I said, Karen, I would not, if I were you, play ball with the signal hunters, you know, the sensor hunters. But remember, Karen is our person here on the Synergy Channel. Over 9 months ago, everyone said, Brina, look, Karen's talking about real things. And I said, nah, she's leaving out the global information grid. So when she came and said, oh, yeah, we need to go let everybody know, specifically the sheriffs, that we need to turn off the system, I said, Karen, you can't turn off biosensors. And the reason for that is the digital twin. And the reason for that is your gig architecture. You're talking about an international community that is absolutely in control of the drones. Yeah. And their networks. Yeah. So I said, Karen, I just wouldn't because you don't have a physical way to sue anyone who's going to turn off biosensors that have been around since bare minimum. I wanted to make sure she could see it. 1956. And I had multiple little things on the channel, 30 minutes, 15 minutes. And I'm like, why aren't you saying biosensor? Instead, Karen called this right here a bioweapon. I said, Karen, you're going to get in trouble because that's not true. Why would they have you saying that? And then she came up with her going to the sheriff's idea. And I said, that's dangerous because it's a global information grid architecture with a digital twin, brain net, multiple brain-to-brain interface. And for those of you that don't know, that is a neurological journal. I said, Karen, you're going up against the sensor hunters, chick. You better know what you're talking about, which is electronic warfare. And I don't think anybody told her that. Or maybe she knew, but she thought they were going to protect her, which happens a lot. People get told, just keep your mouth shut about this. Don't mention that. And we'll let you talk without killing you. And if you think I'm being trite at the moment where I'm like, you know, just mincing words. No, you're allowed to go out there and speak in public so long as you speak the way Mikey Adams tells you to. And that's exactly what he's telegraphing to her now. And now he's going to make her look stupid, like a woman who's overreacting, because him and Malone, they just told her very simply, Karen, we're tired of talking about vaccines. And then my favorite for all of you, I'm very busy on my hobby farm while everyone's being roasted out here. We're very busy farming. Not being run off everywhere we go, Karen. Because we know, Karen, that we don't go to the sheriffs and say, hey, give me your stingray and dirt box. Karen, that's like asking them to put a bullet in your head, honey. That's how they spy on everybody. Welcome to the Synergy Channel. Over here, we talk about electronic warfare and how it actually works inside the human bodies, inside something called the Wide Body Area Network, which I was looking for a moment ago. Yeah, we go from the biosensor here to the Wide Body Area Network. And Karen, we, those of us here on the Synergy Channel, we prayed for you because we know what it's like to be electronically targeted and hunted. You get electrocuted from the inside out, honey. That's how the system works. And Mike Adams is one of the biggest sensor hunter protectors. He doesn't want anybody to know about the system, Karen, because for him and the radio frequency rapists, and they're not all that way, but a lot of them are, because they know that they can get away with anything they want to. It's human bonding communication or human body communication. And we'll just take your ass out because we know how you sit, where you stand, and what all the voltages are inside of you. And that's why this is their bread and butter, honey. You're not allowed to talk about that. No sheriff is going to be able to turn off an international system for the industrial cyber-physical backbone. Yeah, and there you are, annoying them. So they'll just make you run. That's what they do to people, and you're lucky you're alive. Because it's a biophotonic signal from the inside out. You thought the poisoning was bad. Wait till they hit you the way they hit me in Florida. Oxygen goes down to 88 from the air molecules around your head. The ubiquitous pervasive being targeted. It's not fun. And that's why we prayed for you. Nobody likes being on the run. Well, Karen, would it surprise you to know, honey, that you calling it a demon field was what pissed us off here on the Synergy Channel? Because it's a body part. Yeah, I'll do that at the end.
So that's, I mean, look, Karen Kingston has been a whistleblower who has exposed a lot of things. And in fact, about 90 days ago, actually less than that, it was, let's see, May 23rd, Brighttown Broadcast News. I interviewed Karen Kingston.
Oh!
I interviewed her, and that was at a time when she was saying that she was being blacklisted by a lot of alternative media.
Wow.
I think she said that in the interview.
Wow.
And she was wondering, you know, if I would have her on to talk about this call for the sheriffs to seize the vaccine bioweapons across the United States. And I said, well, absolutely, I'll have you on to talk about that. And so I did an interview with her. And in fact, if you want to find that, all you got to do is go to my Health Ranger Report channel on Brighttown.com and search either for May 23rd or just name Karen Kingston under my channel, and you'll see the May 23rd episode of Brighttown Broadcast News. And the title is Calling on Law Enforcement to Seize All Vaccine Bioweapons in the USA, featuring Karen Kingston. Okay, so just to be clear, yes, Karen Kingston called for this, called for the bioweapons to be seized less than 3 months ago. She wanted to come on my show and do an interview and expose all of this and lay it out. And I said, absolutely, we'll have you on. I interviewed her, unedited, no censorship. That entire interview, I don't think there's a single edit other than maybe if there was a cough or something like that. Or if there was a glitch of some kind, but no editing, uncensored. And then put that out, again, May 23rd. And since then, I had not had any contact with Karen. And the last time I had any contact with Robert Malone, by the way, was I think the last time I interviewed him, which, let me look that up on my channel. Dr. Robert Malone Oh, here it is. 8 months ago, Dr. Robert Cohn and Mike Adams discuss decentralization and the rise of sustainable civilization. And gosh, I can't believe it's already been 8 months. And as I recall, by the way, that was a really great conversation with
amazing.
Dr. Robert Cohn.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I remember about that conversation is that neither one of us really wanted to talk about vaccines that
time. No, we don't want to talk about vaccines.
Because, frankly, we're all sick of talking about vaccines.
Yeah.
And so in that discussion, Dr. Malone and I were talking about how we rebuild society after the collapse of the current system of long supply chains and, you know, centralized food production. And
hey, Mikey. How are we supposed to rebuild society when we got anonymous authentication in a body? Yeah, they got our bodies attached to the cloud. You're the one that originally silenced my mouth. Remember? How you doing over there, satanic as fuck, Mikey Adams? I know how you hang out, bitch.
So, folks, lover or hater, you've got to give Sabrina credit for calling out Mike Adams on his gaslighting. He gaslit all of us with this Karen Kingston narrative. So you have to ask yourself, why? What's he hiding? Why is he doing this? Well, I think it all boils down to one word, and that word's pride. Mike has got an incredible reach out there in the alt media. Mike has hundreds of websites. Mike has become the next Alex Jones, perhaps. Maybe that's what he's thinking. I know I have to be careful. I talked a few weeks ago about our numbers exploding. And it does. It makes you pride-filled. And I pray all the time, Lord, humble my spirit and quench my pride. But then as perfect as clockwork, as soon as I start to see the surge in listenership, there's a throttling that takes place again, and the numbers fall. Maybe it's God's way of keeping me humble. I don't know. But what I'm telling you, folks, is that there is a layer in the alt media, and it's at the very top. It's the Alex Joneses and the Mike Adams. And I'm even questioning some of the others like Stu Peters and Maria Z. They have certain things they just simply will not talk about. And I don't know if you've noticed that. But there's nothing off limits here if we're on our quest for truth. The only thing that I ask of myself and all of you out there is that we don't do anything that, you know, is contrary to what the Lord wants us to do. Now, speaking of false teachers, we're going to see them out in full force this fall as the Canaanites unleash their second wave of the scamdemic. Now, the second guy over at Substack, he's calling it PSYOP 23. And he wrote, and I quote, "The mass fear inducement phase of all things pandemic is now officially being manufactured in real time by the mainstream media talking airheads." So right now, speaking of talking airheads, let's listen to Lester Holt spew more COVID fear porn over at NBC with one of his cohorts. Have a listen to this at NBC Nightly News, setting the stage for Scamdemic Round 2.
COVID is making a comeback this summer, so many of us would like to leave it in the past, but cases are once again on the rise. So when will new booster shots roll out? Ann Thompson asked the CDC director.
This summer, most Americans left COVID in the past, gathering together once again mask-free. But tonight, signs of a COVID resurgence. Across the country, COVID hospitalizations jumped more than 14% in the most recent week, but far lower than pandemic levels. NBC News medical contributor Dr. Kavita Patel.
What's behind this uptick in COVID that we're seeing?
The main driver of this is a variant that's relatively newer to the scene, EG5. It's easier to give and get, so that makes it kind of easier to pass along.
It's been almost a year since the last COVID booster came out. CDC Director Dr. Mandy Cohen.
The new COVID booster is expected to be approved by the FDA, and then we will make recommendations from the CDC probably by the second or third week of September.
Will it protect against this new strain?
Yes. the booster is tailored to what we are seeing circulating now.
Critics say the federal government is behind once again. Mm-hmm. People knew there was going to be a COVID resurgence. Mm-hmm. So why don't we have a booster today? Why do we have to wait until next month?
The way we go about doing our, just like we do with our flu shots, right, we make sure that we're looking at the ways in which the virus changed. They look at and evaluate that. The FDA is doing its work. We likely will see this as an annual COVID shot, just like the flu shot.
Just in time for fall, when we'll also face RSV.
Can you take the flu shot, the COVID booster, and the RSV vaccine all at once?
So for flu and COVID, yes. RSV, again, is only available for older adults. That's one where I'd say talk to your doctor about what's right for you.
So until the new COVID booster comes, get prepared. Stock up on at-home tests. They do cover that new strain. Keep a mask handy in case you're in a crowded place. And most of all, get your shots, COVID, flu, and RSV, all by Halloween to give yourself your best chance of staying healthy.
A reminder that COVID never went away.
Didn't.
And thank you.
What? What? Are you serious? Are you serious?
Can I have some more coffee?
Yeah, Paul, we're serious. COVID never went away. They're just pulling it out and dusting it off. That's what they're doing. And you know why? Well, I agree with Second Guy over at Substack. I think it's because the current level of compliance at 17% on the boosters is just simply insufficient for Big Pharma to meet its profit goals. And for the global reset minion to manage their eugenics program overall. You know, they have these very aggressive levels of depopulation they have to achieve. They have very aggressive levels of compliance technology that needs to be implemented. And remember, it's the graphene inside these jabs that are key to this communications network that we're going to get into a little bit later in the show. So after Lester spewed all these false teachings, we heard the expert doctor that was interviewed, and this is their modus operandi. She spewed the usual variant BS narrative. You know, the EG5 is so transmissible. Well, didn't we hear that on Omicron? And remember what they named EG5, Eris. It got us a confusion and chaos. Oh, give me a break. Can you believe this? Right in our faces. This is the priming that the Donut Factory talked about, programming. The revelation of the method that we've talked about, Michael W. Hoffman III actually exposed 20, 30 years ago. I first learned about it working with William Cooper. So then after all of this, then what do they do? More lies, more false teachings as they interview the new CDC director. I just forgot her name, who's even worse than Walensky. Another useful idiot sociopath, the CDC puppet herself. And why? Because she's out there continuing to reinforce the brainwashing in the general viewership of the mindless masses, that safe and effective narrative, you know? Safe and effective. How can they even still say this? Folks, honestly, I thought that people would have figured out that these mRNA jabs are killing them by now, but the truth is that the best way to beat any of this disease and illness that's in the world is to have a healthy and strong immune system. And that comes from what Dr. Ken Berry calls the PhD, the proper human diet. Not the SADS diet, as he refers to it, the standard American diet, you know, the one full of heavy processed food and chemicals and yet light on nutrition. That's why so many people are obese. Their body's calling for nutrition and they eat all these empty calories and they're not getting the nutrients they need. The micro and the macronutrients, the phytochemicals, and all the different things we need for abundant health and a healthy immune system. So the truth is that so many out there getting these injections and these boosters, falsely called vaccinations, the fact is that's destroying their immune systems. And that isn't a good idea. Yet sadly, so many people are still buying this line of BS. And I'm willing to bet that some of my four-time vaccinated relatives will be the first in line on the first day this new one's available at their local Pfizer outlet, you know, the Costco pharmacies, the Walmart pharmacies, Revco, whatever your flavor of poison is. you know, after all, they all want to protect themselves from COVID, especially when they have all these sudden illnesses, all sorts of health issues. One of my nieces recently developed a sensitivity to mold, and another developed Bell's palsy, just like Justin Bieber. So you can't be too careful, can you? You want to stay protected. Lord, we pray that they have their eyes open. Give them spiritual eyes to see and spiritual sight to see, light to see with. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen? Folks, it's really strange, but there's this this awakening that happens. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. And I just pray that these people that are being swayed and twisted by the muddying of all these funny, fickle little facts that we have, all these people out there spewing, people like Mike Adams. So he keeps you focused over here, when on the other side of the stage is where all the action's happening. And I'm seeing that with more and more of these people in the alt media right now. Now, the powers that be have rebranded the flu COVID-19. No kidding, folks. There's a report out right now. And it's coming from the World Health Organization. It's their annual flu chart. And I want to just talk you through it. I wanted to put it up on the banner, and I forgot to put it up, so I apologize. But this is an official World Health Organization document, and it's the Influenza Laboratory Surveillance Information System. It's virus detections by subtype reported to FluNet. So this is funded by the WHO and a group called GISRS. And that's the Global Institute, I can't read of, surveillance or something. But let's just look at what's going on. So in the year 2016, 2017, these are the flu season years. So the fall of 16, the spring of 17, and that's going to be the way these are all expressed. There were 29 million flu cases recorded on this collection site. In 17, 18, there were 45 million. In 2018, 2018, and 2019, that season, 36 million. And in all of these years, zero COVID cases. Then in 2019 and 2020, there were 38 million. Okay? And there were zero COVID cases. Now, wind the clock ahead to the year the scamdemic hit, right after Agenda or Event 201, I think it was, at John Hopkins, there were 0.0015 million cases, or let's just call that what it is. So we have to move that decimal place, six places. So let's do that right now. So we're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1,500 cases, folks. And get this, 32 million COVID cases. Do you see a trend here? This is right out on the World Health Organization's data collection page for flu cases, folks. I'm telling you, the media is a false prophet spewing fear porn to comply, to force compliance. And that's the truth, folks. So when they say things like, eat the bugs, do not comply. When they say things like, take the jab, get your booster so you're protected from ARS, do not comply. When they tell you to wear the mask this fall, do not comply. When they tell you to give up your AR-15 and your other semi-automatic weapons or firearms, do not comply. When they tell you to drive an electric car, do not comply, folks. When they tell you to live in that tiny house, you see all those ads now for the tiny houses? Do not comply. When they ask you to move to that 15-minute city, do not comply. I could go on and on. But we have to keep moving, and right now it's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. In Japanese, ka means soul. Boo means dance. Ki means skill. From the verb, kabu means to slam or display. Folks, it's all a lot. It's the Latin curve. But the economy, stupid, must slow down with the velocity of money. Portal hyperinflation, what would it done? Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030. And the new world would just say no to it all. And wake up before it's too late.
Folks, I'm telling you, with all the life I have in me, all the passion I can muster, we are in the end game of this diabolical plan to fundamentally reshape life for all of humanity. And we, the people, must stand up and stop this madness. I'm telling you that before it's too late. Now, this week, I quite accidentally stumbled on this article over at redstate.com. And it's very serendipitous how some of this happens. I do believe it's the moving of the Holy Spirit. But I found this article at redstate.com titled 14 American Cities Aim to Ban Meat, Dairy, Private Cars by 2030. So there are 14 major American cities right now that are part of this globalist climate organization known as C40 Cities Climate Leadership Group. Now, they have this very ambitious target. Those are their words, not mine, to have zero meat consumption by 2030, zero dairy consumption by 2030, and three new clothing items per person per year. I don't know if you remember, about a year or two ago, we played some clips from some of the think tanks talking about this. Well, now it's been reduced to practice through the C40 group. Oh, and they're going to allow you one short-term flight. That's a short-distance flight. That's less than 1,500 kilometers every 3 years per person. Can you believe this garbage, folks? Can you believe it? Oh, and by the way, did you hear, and this one just blew my mind when I first heard it, did you hear that the Biden regime wants to limit beer consumption to 2 beers per week?
Gosh.
I know, Gomer, that's not going to sit very well with the average American, is it? Who likes their beer, unless it's Bud Light. So these C40 dystopian goals, you can find all of them over at the Future of Urban Consumption in a 1.5 degree centigrade world report. Can you believe this? They have this ambitious goal. They're going to reduce temperature, global temperature, by 1.5 degrees Celsius. Now, this was published back in 2019, and it looks like it's getting re-jump-started now, revitalized now in 2023. Now, this is an unconstitutional organization at face, folks. It's headed and largely funded by the Marxist billionaire, Michael Bloomberg, you know, the guy that wanted to limit how large your soda could be in New York City. There's nearly 100 cities around the world that make up this organization, and the ones here in the United States include Austin, Boston, Chicago, Houston, L.A., Miami, New Orleans, New York City. We even have one here in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Portland, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and Seattle. So what is this C40 group? Well, let's go right to the source and have a listen. So this next clip is the actual... I'm just looking at my notes here, and I did miss something I want to play for you. We'll play it after this, but this is the actual about video, promo video over at the C40 YouTube channel. So let's have a listen to the C40 cities.
How resilient are cities? Dealing with compounding crises, a global pandemic, growing inequality, and the climate emergency. Giving up isn't an option. Cities bring the solutions, turning the what is into what's possible, producing more renewable energy than they use, vulnerable communities having fair input into their development, clean air for all, no empty promises. Cities are full of doers, communities of change makers, the go-getters, trendsetters, and future thinkers. Real change starts with us, with you. So what will it take? Put simply, prioritizing people and the planet. There is no more room for empty commitments. It's time to turn targets into reality. Sure, progress has been made, but there is still a long way to go. Temperatures are still rising. Seas are still rising, but people are rising too, and we are standing with them. Now is the time to harness the power and potential of our cities. Let's build on the momentum and stay united in action.
Seas are still rising, yet we see pictures of Plymouth Rock. We see pictures of the Statue of Liberty taken back in the 1800s. and the sea level looks the same as today. We have all these billionaires and these former politicians buying seafront properties. The sea's not rising, folks. That's a false narrative. That's a lie from a false teacher. And that's what these people are, folks. Now, I forgot to play this over in the coronavirus heist update, and it is so important that I'm going to just take a step back and play this. Now, we've heard Christina Anderson. She's one of the parliament members from the European Union, their version of Congress. And she is so outspoken on all this. And I believe in this clip I'm going to play for you. It's a short little clip. It's only 2 minutes and 13 seconds long. She does a very good job calling out these globalists and what their plan is. And this all fits together. So, yeah, I wanted to play this in the Scamdemic update, but it applies just as well in the Kabuki update because all these things are fitting together. So listen to Christina Anderson warn everybody about this next phase two of the Scamdemic. And she basically says, as I've been saying, do not comply. Folks, this is an elected leader for the people of Europe. And listen to her passion and her grave warning to everyone who will listen.
Democracy, the rule of law. They want to get rid of all of this. This whole COVID thing had never anything to do with public health. It never had anything to do with breaking waste. It always had to do with breaking people in order to make us a part of a mindless, malleable mass, which they can totally control, and we will be completely dependent upon this globalitarian elite. So I'm really imploring the people and all the peoples around the world, for God's sake, stop giving your democratically elected governments the benefit of the doubt. They are not deserving of that. They are not. Stop rationalizing whatever your government is doing. Stop rationalizing and come up with some good intentions. They have no good intentions. Never. As I said before, in the entire history of mankind, there has never been a political elite concerned about the well-being of regular people. And it isn't any different now. Why should it? Stop giving them the benefit of the doubt. Because I can tell you, you cannot comply your way out of a tyranny. It is impossible. Trying to do so, you will only feed a gigantic alligator in the hopes of being eaten last. But guess what? Your turn will come, and then you will be the one swallowed up. I also have to ask the people, end your silence. Speak up. For God's sake, stop complying. Start rebelling. They're out to get you if you do not resist.
Well said, Christina Anderson. God bless you. I love that one line in there, and I actually used it in a tweet under the hashtag do not comply. And folks, go out there and start posting on that hashtag. I loved it when she said you cannot comply your way out of a tyranny. You heard her, folks. Do not comply. Peacefully resist. Peacefully rebel. And that's the way we can stop this. So how does all this climate crisis and pandemic fear porn narrative actually play out for the cities that are adopting all this nonsense? Well, here's something very well said by a vlogger named Tommy Robinson. And he spoke specifically in this next clip on the 15-minute cities and how literally... When you embrace these, you are literally going to be living in perpetual lockdown. Have a listen to Tommy Robinson.
They're designing these new little mini cities that they call districts, where your building is going to have 500 or 600 units for living, then it's going to have office space, then it's going to have retail, all in the same building. Meanwhile, it's only going to have a few parking spaces. They're literally putting huge signs in the streets, and they all look exactly the same, and it says City of Toronto Rezoning, and they are all identical. You'll see a building that was there previously getting torn down, and you're going to see what they call a mixed-use development, and it has residences on top, office buildings and retail in the middle and the bottom, and then almost no infrastructure for parking. There's not even enough parking for the people living there. You're supposed to live upstairs, work somewhere in the building, go to the gym or your Starbucks or your grocery store, everything in the building. So basically, you're living on lockdown your entire life, just like they wanted you to do with COVID. Remember with COVID when you were on lockdown and they said you couldn't go more than 5 kilometers away from your house? Well, if you don't have a car, guess what? You're never going to go more than 5 kilometers away from your house. And that's what the 15-minute city is designed to do.
He said it so well, folks. These mixed use developments aren't only coming, they're already here. In fact, Google developed one here in Pittsburgh back in the turn of the millennium. They took the old site of the RH Nabisco Bakery and they converted it into a Google development center. Then right across the street, they developed all these apartments. And guess what? They linked it across the road above on the second floor with a all-season land bridge, you know, one of those glass-encased tunnels to cross the road in any weather. You don't even have to put your coat on. And then right beside the Google facility, which has daycare, hairdressers, all the things that you've heard about in these Google centers, it's all there. They have a cafeteria, breakfast, lunch, and dinner served. You can get your financial planning done right there in the Google facility. Well, right beside it, they have all the shops. You have a Trader Joe's, you have a Staples, you have a clothing store. So you get your groceries, you get your clothing, you get any office supplies you need and computers, whatever. It's all right there. That's what he's talking about in these 15-minute cities. Now, we've talked about predictive programming for years in the elite's more sinister practice known as revelation of the method. Well, at first, these 15-minute cities may sound really cool. I mean, even for all these Google employees, oh boy, I don't even have to drive my car. What do we need a car for? And then a lot of them are getting rid of their cars. So think about this. Your workplace is on level one. Then your shops are on level two. You can be confident. You can always get your groceries and your personal items, and you never even have to take your slippers off. And then they're going to have these rent-a-centers. So you need a drill. Remember we played that clip? Because you're going to hang a picture in your cubicle apartment. So you just go down there and you give them your ID and they take some credits off your central bank digital currency, your living wage, whatever you want to call it, you know, your universal basic income. And then you use the drill. And when you dutifully return it, you get your deposit back. And as long as you're a good little sheeple, everything's okay. So workplace level one, shops level two, your fun and recreation, you know, your gym, your swimming pool, your nightclub, they may be on level three, maybe even have a Planet Fitness, you know, or a Starbucks or the AMC movie theater complex. And then your domiciles, the place where you're stacked and packed, so to speak. They're on levels 5 through 25. Oh, how wonderful this is going to be, huh? So I was thinking about all this, you know, and then, you know, we're going to have all sorts of EMF and solar flares, and there's going to be all sorts of wars and rumors of wars. So next idea, maybe we don't bring it up above the ground, we bury it underground, and it's all to keep you safe. And then that started to remind me of this new dystopian series that Terry and I watched a few episodes of over on Apple called Silo. Have any of you heard of Silo out there? Well, let me give you a little backstory on it. This world that they're living in is supposedly ruined and toxic. So there's literally thousands upon thousands of people that live in this giant silo that is buried deep underground. Now, their sheriff, he breaks a cardinal rule. And this is after some of the residents die mysteriously. And what he does is he says, I want to go outside. Now, there's an engineer that keeps the power plant running down in the very basement of this silo that's buried underground. And she starts to uncover some really shocking secrets about the truth of the silo. So let's have a listen to this silo trailer. And this is the official Apple silo trailer. And just think for a minute. Is this more predictive programming?
We do not know why we are here. We do not know who built the silo. We do not know why everything outside the silo is as it is. We do not know when it will be safe to go outside. We only know that day is not this day.
We do not know why we are here. We do not know who built the sun and why we are underground. We only know the world outside our sanctuary is death.
If you boil the pact down to one rule, do not say you want to go outside. Or you will.
Don't you ever think about the world beyond the silo?
What if what we see is not what's out there?
Down in Mechanical, there's always someone who has a theory about the silo. I need to find out the truth.
I found something that might hold the answers to a lot of questions.
You have to stay quiet. And keep your head down.
Are you willing to give everything you have for this?
The clock is running. There isn't much time left.
This is a threat to order in the silo.
I don't care about order. What about finding out the truth?
Some mysteries are best left unsolved. We do not know how long we have been underground or who built the silo. We do not know why there is no life outside the silo. We only know that here is safe. And there is not.
Have you ever noticed anything strange about the silo?
Some mysteries are best left unsolved.
What's the big question?
What if everything you know to be true was one big lie?
What do you think, folks? So here in their sanctuary is safe, and there is not. You know, they're talking about climate lockdowns now, folks. And they want you to stay inside because of the harmful UV rays, because of the heat. Folks, when I was a kid, we had hot summers, just like this year. Now, I've searched far and wide on the web, but not a peep out there tying the Solo series to predictive programming for the globalists and their 15-minute prison camps, euphemistically dubbed 15-minute cities. So praise the Lord, folks. You heard it first here on the SDG report. So do not believe these lies being spewed by these false prophets of the media concerning how wonderful these 15-minute cities will be. And how about that line in that clip we just heard? Some mysteries are best left unsolved. No, I disagree with that, because Jesus said in the end, all things will be revealed. And I love that final closing. In fact, let's play that part again.
What's the big question?
What if everything you know to be true was one big lie?
Do not comply, folks. Do not comply. The establishment hates you and me. They want to have a prison planet where 1% of the global elite rule over 500 million slaves. And that's the truth. Don't believe the lies being spewed by these false prophets on the media. Don't believe them about any of this, how it's okay to eat bugs, how you're going to get sick and die if you don't get your booster, how the new central bank digital currency is going to solve all your economic woes. No, folks, it's all a form of enslavement, and that's the truth. They are working to lock us all down, those of us who survived their genocide. They're working to lock us down, make this world a prison for all of the normal people, so that they can have their global playground and we can all serve them. The bottom line, like I said, is do not comply. We have to keep moving, and right now it's time for our Yellow Brick Road update.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
So I'm going to cut that bumper a little short today, folks, and remember, the root of all evil is the love of money. I didn't say it, the Bible did. Now, there's a lot of talk right now, folks, in the alt media about the Barbie movie being very similar to The Wizard of Oz. Well, remember, folks, what this is. Do not pay any attention to the man behind the curtain, you know. It's all kabuki theater. So this next clip is from a recent episode of Jediah Billa Live, and she's an American podcast host. You probably, if you even know of who she is, it's either from The View, which she was on for one season between 2016 and 2017, or is the anchor of the weekend edition of the morning news and talk show program over on Fox and Friends. She was over there from 2019 to 2021. She also wrote a couple books. And then June of 2022, last summer, she was picked as the host of a podcast by Valuetainment. And they titled it the Jediah Billa Live Show. So in this next clip, and I'm going to be very surprised if she's on this much longer. I mean, she's going to give you some real truth in this next clip. Listen to Jediah Billa tell us why the globalists are afraid of you and me.
The biggest fear that the World Economic Forum has is that there are going to be people that will not comply. Their biggest fear is your fight for freedom. Their biggest fear is that you will make individual decisions for yourself and you will not follow their orders. So this digital stuff is absolutely key. Because without it, they can't enforce anything. Without it, they can't mandate that you do something. Without it, they can't control your life. So I don't care if you're talking about carbon emissions and what's safe and effective as far as they are concerned. I don't care if they're talking about an experimental injection, a series of injections, whatever they may be, and what's safe and effective as far as they're concerned. This is not about those individual things. This is about the desire to control you from the outside in. And if they have a digital process whereby they can restrict your movement, your behavior, and your decisions with the click of a button, you are done. You're done. The biggest fear that the World Economic Forum has is that there are going to be people that...
I'm sorry, I started playing it over again there, folks. Did you hear what she said? If they have a digital process, no. Sabrina Wallace is showing that they already have that digital process. It's biosensors in your very body that will control everything about you. And there's a kill switch, folks. If they don't like what you're doing, if they can't force you to comply, they just turn the kill switch on and they burn you from the inside out with radio frequency technology. This stuff's sick. So what she said was right on. And they're going to use the central bank digital currency as part of their plan. Excuse me, I had a sneeze. So she was right on. And think about it. There's no way these 87,000 armed IRS agents are out there to help you and me. They were hired. They were hired to go after people that are saying no to the government. Just like the agents, the armed agents in the FBI, the DHS, the DEA, the Border Patrol, ICE, the Treasury, the Post Office, and even your local police force. They're all being suited up with SWAT-type gear and training. So the government has a ready-made manned army of over 1 million people who are going to answer directly to the president or the dictator who's been placed, the dog king, and they're going to make war on the people. Now, is the military going to step up and say no? I'm beginning to wonder, folks. That's the white hat. I don't even know if there are any white hats. How many of them are going to stick with Biden, the imposter in chief? Now, here's a clip of another ordinary person who's connecting the dots and seeing the big picture. And that's why it's so important to get the message out. Share this. Send this to your friends. And people will wake up. This is just an ordinary mom who's talking, and listen to her. She's getting it. And oh, by the way, a shout out to a lady that works at the plant named Kayla. She's never very political, but she's seeing what's going on now, and she told me she is going to stand up and not comply. People are waking up. Have a listen to this woman. She's 100% right on.
I'm just going to say this. I heard this morning on another podcast that this variant obviously is already sweeping the UK. They're considering having all their citizens in the UK mask up again. Guys, I am begging you. If you stood down in 2020, please stand up in 2023 when this hits our shores. Because if you think you lost freedom last time, it ain't going to be nothing compared to what they're going to do this time. And if we overwhelm these idiots and let them know that we will not do this, and those of us that stood last time don't have to stand alone, then we can beat this. We can actually beat them at their game this time. So please don't be a coward this time. Don't mask your kids up. Don't go and not go to the grocery store without your mask on. Don't send your kids to school with masks on. Don't stop hugging each other. Don't stop going to church. And if your pastor shuts his doors, find a new church. If your pastor finds a way to agree with the narrative, find a new church this time. Guys, we are living in the end, and they are trying so hard to tear down our country from within. And they're doing it, and they're going to continue doing it. And the only way for us to push it back is to stand up. There are far more of us than there are of them. But they are going to work exceptionally hard, and I guarantee you, if they start pushing this in our country, it will be far worse than it was last time. Far worse than it was last time. They want 15-minute cities. They want us to stop communicating with each other. They want to censor us. They want to shut us down. We have to stand. We're already seeing it with what's going on in Hawaii. And if you think that was a natural disaster, you got another thing.
Amen, sister. You are 100% right on. And it will be nothing like the last time. And why? Because now they have the central bank digital currency ready to rock and roll. Couple that with the biosensors inside your body and a bit more on that in Back to the Future. And they have the ultimate control grid, folks. We have to keep moving. And right now, It's time for our Outer Limits segment.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Now, this next clip is something that you would you'd actually watch in an Outer Limit or a Twilight Zone episode, and it's exactly what it is. It's fake. It's fiction. But here's the thing. It's full of truth. And I know that sounds paradoxical, and it is, but it's another method being used by the global cabal to discredit the truthers out there, people like me and many others who've been doing this for decades and doing it just to wake people up, like that woman we heard in the last clip. So this is a document I first heard about over 20 years ago, and it was titled The Secret Covenant, A Member of the Illuminati Tells All. So what I'd like to do now is play the clip, and it's a long clip. It's about 7 minutes, and time's running short, so I may cut into this, but I want you to get a gist for it, and then I'm going to comment on it over on the other side. So just listen to this. It's from an herbalist. I forget her name. I do apologize for that. But she is out there. Let me see if I have her name here, because I'd like to give credit. No, I don't have her name. I'm sorry. I do apologize for that, folks. I thought I had her name. Yeah, Tanya, the herbalist. That's her name. So let's listen to Tanya as she reads this document. Now, her delivery isn't very good, but just listen to at least the first couple minutes of this, and then I may cut in and give you my thoughts on why I told you it's fake and phony, but not false.
You guys, I want to share with you the secret covenant that you might or might not have heard about. The secret covenant was created by none other than the Rockefellers, and maybe even someone even higher than them, let's be honest. But this is their secret covenant and their clause of things that they wanted to follow. And when you're a conspiracy theorist or a critical thinker and you're aware of what's been going on in the world, you're going to know exactly how suitable this is. This is written word for word, and I want to read it to you, okay? So bear with me. The secret covenant. An illusion, it will be so large, so vast, it will escape their perception. Those who will see it will be thought of as insane. We'll create separate fronts to prevent them from seeing the connection between us. We will behave as if we are not connected to keep the illusion alive. Our goal will be accomplished one drop at a time so as to never bring suspicion upon ourselves. This will also prevent them from seeing the changes as they occur. We will always stand above the relative field of their experience, for we know the secrets of the absolute. We will work together always, and we will remain bound by blood and secrecy. Death will come to he who speaks. We will keep their lifespan short and their minds weak while pretending to do the opposite. We will use our knowledge of science and technology in subtle ways so that they will never see what's happening. We will use soft metals, aging accelerators, and sedatives in food and water, also in the air. They will be blanketed by poisons everywhere they turn. The soft metals will cause them to lose their mind. We will promise to find a cure from our many fronts, yet we will feed them more poison. The poisons will be absorbed through their skin and mouths, and they will destroy their minds and reproductive system. From all this, their children will be born dead, and we will conceal this information. The poisons will be hidden in everything that surrounds them and what they drink, eat, breathe, and wear. We must be ingenious in dispensing the poisons, for they can see far. We will teach them that the poisons are good with fun images and musical tones. Those they look up to will help. We will enlist them to push our poison. They will see our products being used in the film and will grow accustomed to them and will never know their true effect. When they give birth, we will inject poisons into the blood of their children and convince them that it's for their help. We will start early on when their minds are young. We will target their children with what the children love most, sweet things. When their teeth decay, we will fill them with metals that will kill their mind and steal their future. When their ability to learn has been affected, we will create medicine that will make them sicker and cause other diseases for which we will create yet more medicine. We will render them docile and weak before us by our power. They will go depressed, slow, and obese, and when they come to us for help, we will give them more poison. We will focus their attention toward money and material goods so they many never connect with their inner self. We will distract them with fornication, external pleasures, and games so that they may never be one with the oneness of it all. Their minds will belong to us and they will do as we say. If they refuse, we shall find ways to implement mind-altering technology into their lives. We will use fear as our weapon. We will establish a government and establish opposites within. We will own both sides. We will always hide our objective but carry out our plan. They will perform the labor for us and we shall prosper from their toil. Our families will never mix with theirs. Our blood must be always pure, for it is the way. We will make them kill each other when it suits us. We will keep them separated from the oneness by dogma and religion. We will control all aspects of their lives and tell them what to think and how. We will grow them kindly and gently, letting them think that they are guiding themselves. We will foment animosity between them through our factions. When a light shall shine among them, we shall extinguish it by ridicule or death, whichever suits it best. We will make them rip each other's hearts apart and kill their own children. We will accomplish this by using hate as our ally, anger as our friend. The hate will blind them totally, and never shall they see that from their conflicts we emerge as their rulers. They will be busy killing each other. They will bathe in their own blood and kill their neighbors for as long as we see fit. We will benefit greatly from this, for they will not see us, for they cannot see us. We will continue to prosper from their wars and their deaths. They shall repeat this over and over until our ultimate goal is accomplished. We will continue to make them live in fear and anger through images and sounds. We will use all the tools we have to accomplish this. The tools will be provided by their labor. We will make them hate themselves and their neighbors. We will always hide the divine truth from them. They were all one. That they were all one. This they must never know. They must never know that a man's color is an illusion. They must always think that they are not equal. Drop by drop, we will advance our goal. We will take over their land, resources, and wealth to exercise total control over them. We will deceive them into accepting laws that will steal the little freedom they will have. We will establish a money system that will imprison them forever, keeping them and their children in debt. When they shall band together, we will accuse them of crimes and present a different story to the world, for we shall own all the media. We will use our media to control the flow of information and their sentiment in our favor. When they shall rise up against us, we will crush them like insects, for they are less than that. They will be helpless to do anything, for they will have no weapons. We will recruit some of their own to carry out our plans.
Okay, that's a good place to stop, folks. And I'm just going to stop there because I'm short on time today. So I first heard this, I should say I first read it about 20 years ago. And it's full of very good information. And there is a divine truth they're denying to us. I'm going to get into that a bit more in Back to the Future. And that's the divine truth. And I am a Bible-believing Christian. But the divine truth that's being lied to concerning the way we were fearfully and wonderfully made is that we all have what's known as an aura. It's a spiritual light, and we're not to keep our light under a basket. That's what Jesus said. More on that a bit later. So in my opinion, this document that we just heard Tanya, the herbalist, read from is not authentic. Now, I believe it's very accurate about what's really going on in the world. And it correctly expresses their dark motives. These are the puppet masters, you know, the Kabbalists, the Sabbateans, whatever you want to call them. So it's revealing their plans, but it's very unlikely that this is a document from the power elite that got out, so to speak. In my opinion, it was a plan that was enumerated or described by somebody, a freedom fighter, that was written very well intentioned, okay, but written nonetheless to convince their friends and others of what's actually going on. And why do I say that? Well, just look at the language. It was very self-serving and justified and sounded wise and all that, but who in their right mind would actually write something like that and then leak it? It reminds me of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Now, there's a lot of debate out there whether it's true or false. I mean, a legitimate or a fake document. The bigger question should be for both of these documents is what being said by these documents actually true? And the answer is yes. But here's the problem. The naysayers out there, the establishment hacks, they'll grab hold of these documents and they'll say things like, well, see, this is a conspiracy theory. No, it's somebody trying to summarize it. So that's my opinion. And here's the bottom line, folks. There's a lot of authentic documents out there, all verifiable, all out there on government websites. Now, they are starting to get deleted, but you can still find them in the Wayback Machine. And we don't need fake documents to prove the secret covenant. We don't need to invent anything to make our friends take notice. Just stick to the verifiable record and rely on the documents that are out there, the ones that can be authenticated. And when you find things like this, which say a lot of truth, but they're anonymous, try to avoid them. I mean, you can learn from them and then incorporate them into your narrative, but don't claim them to be something they're not. Oh, and by the way, I have one other really freaky thing that fits into the outer limits. Our good friend Alex, shout out to Alex. He sent me this email this week, actually two, and they're both absurdian, you know, outer limit type material. The first one was about his school in Iowa. It had to be shut down first week of school because it was too hot. It was going up to 90 degrees and the students just couldn't handle it, you know? They just couldn't handle it. And my awe button isn't working, folks. I wanted to play awe. Let's see if the cuckoo works. Cuckoo's not working. Doesn't look like any of them are working. Oh, you know why? Microsoft wants to do an update. Let's see if the awe button works now. Boy, I lost my Stream Deck, folks. They just shut me down. Let's see if we can get it to work now. Wow. Guess what we're going to have to do, folks? We're going to have to finish this show with no clips. And that's sad. All because Microsoft wanted to do an update. Can you believe this? Wow. You know what I might be able to do? Why don't we do this? This is very important. So I'm going to tell you the two things that Alex sent me. And then we're going to move into the Hopium report. And what I'm going to do is restart this computer that we do the streaming on and see if we can keep this show going. So I'm restarting it now. And I want to tell you what Brother Alex sent me. So he sent me one that they had to actually shut the school down because the hydrothermal cooling heating system couldn't keep up with the hot weather. Folks, I remember when I was a kid in school, late August, early September, we had some hot days in there. I was dripping with sweat, as were all the other students, and the teachers would bring out big fans and would open up the windows. That's how it used to work. And then he sent me another one, perfect for the Absurdian Report. And you know what that was? That was that moon landing from India. It sounded like something from Bollywood. Did you see how fake that looked? Folks, what is going on with all this insanity? That's my question. Okay, we're back on now. Let's see if the awe button works. It's not working. Oh, you know why? I had to mute that. That's what I say to all those poor students that had a sweat. But anyways, let's keep moving. And right now it's time for our Hopium Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
Okay, you know, folks, I do apologize for that hiccup in the show there. I do like to keep the show moving. I think what I'm going to do is disable all updates on this because it seems like they always do them Saturday morning. We had this problem a few weeks ago, too. So this next story is very hopeful. Now, I've mentioned numerous times in the past that I have these synergistic thoughts with others in the alt media. and I'd like to share this story with you. Now, I've been questioning a lot of the people in the alt media lately, wondering to myself and asking the question out loud here whether these people are false teachers or not. You know, people like AJ, Alex Jones, Mike Adams, Stu Peters, and even Maria Z. Now, I have various reasons for each of them. Maria Z, you know, she won't take any of Seth's information and even comment on it to him. And I do believe what Seth is uncovering in these microscopic analyses that he's doing are the payload carriers for the sensor systems, or the enhancement of the sensor systems that are in our bodies, you know, what Sabrina Wallace is talking about. And then, of course, Alex Jones, I've been skeptical of him for the last 30 years because of warnings that were given to me by William Cooper. Mike Adams, we've covered that. Stu Peters, similar story to Maria Z. He just ignores certain people out there, and you've got to wonder why. So there's a reason for each. And I thought, you know, there's something missing here in the alt media narrative. Everybody's giving the information, stirring the pot, but nobody's really giving solutions. Now, Mike does have his decentralization TV or whatever he calls it. But honestly, you almost have to be a millionaire to do some of the stuff he's talking about. And then I stumble on this article from J.D. Rucker. And all of a sudden, I'm hopeful again. And it's titled, "The Adversary is Shifting Strategies, and We Must Do the Same." So I'm going to open, just read this quote, and then we'll get into my reason for being hopeful with this. J.D. opens with, "Things are very different today than they were just a year or two ago. The adversary is changing the way they do what they do. Rather than working strictly from the shadows, they're unleashing their plans in plain sight. It wasn't too long ago that they at least attempted to put some logic, skewed as it may have been, into their arguments. Today, they're relying on pure emotion, gaslighting, and an unhealthy level of cognitive dissonance. This is why it's easier to get arrested for trying to stop a man from going into a girl's bathroom than actually being a man going into a girl's bathroom." Yes, folks, everything is upside down. Now, here's where I got excited. He goes on to explain what he means when he uses the term "our adversary." And yes, you got it. He means our adversary, the devil, also known as Satan, also known as Lucifer. And then J.D. proceeds to give his readers this excellent teaching in modern terms of what I'll call the wiles of the devil. He lists the theaters of operation that our adversary, the devil, and his minion wage war against we, the people, and truth. So they're doing it through the ever-perfected election scams, the scamdemic narratives of the Uniparty, the LGBTQI plus A, whatever, supremacy, the climate change cult, the opening and ongoing border invasion, attacks on our food supply, the de-dollarization, the forced economic collapse. I could go on and on. And then quoting J.D. again, he says, "The list is unfortunately very long, and that's before I touch on the spiritual attacks against faith and religious freedom, which are the end goal of their machinations." So why does this make me hopeful? Well, then J.D. goes on to state that he's going to reformat and expand his platform, both to secure and expand the reach of his message. And then he says he's going on shortwave, folks. That's where I got my awakening 30-plus years ago, WWCR, shortwave. Going to give him a step up on all of the cancel culture and censorship. Plus, he's shifting from a mere reporting function to a solutions-based function. So let's pray for him. And I would suggest that you listen to what JD's saying, because I think he's cut from a different cloth than some of these other people that we've talked to or talked about. But right now we have to keep moving, and it's time for our Absurdian report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
So, folks, up to this point, we've heard all sorts of lies from the mouths of all sorts of false teachers and the false prophet of the mainstream media today. you know, from the scamdemic to the manufactured climate crisis to the lies going on over at Maui, all in the name of positivity, all in the name of doing good for our fellow man and the planet. That's right, folks. One big buzz. Let's give it another buzz. Those are all lies from the pits of hell. Folks, that's not the goal. Their ultimate goal is control, to control the herd. And first, before you can control the herd, you have to thin the herd. So in this next clip, you're going to hear the pure absurdity of this official city hearing of one of the cities from that C40 group as they begin to adopt some of the C40 cities' guidelines. And one of them, like I mentioned, was to eliminate meat. So they're starting with the city-served foods for the homeless, the aged, and I think the youth in the school system. So it's a longer clip, but I think what we're going to do is just play the first couple minutes. It's a 6.5-minute clip. So let's just listen to the first minute or two so you get a flavor of this. Then I'll comment on it on the other side.
If somebody in a long-term care home or a shelter wants a piece of meat, what do? Do we not feed it to them? I mean.
Thank you, Councillor Purse. Councillor Holliday.
Just to confirm so I understand, we serve a lot of meals, the city, and this contract speaks to it. Am I correct? The meals are being served in our long-term care homes, in the shelters, and potentially in daycares. Are those basically the categories?
Through the chair to the councillor, yes. So those are the three divisions that are a part of this RFP.
Okay. And so, you know, we prepare meals, we make them. This is supplying the ingredients to make those meals. Can someone tell me a little bit about what the Cruel Food Pledge aims to do? Just a caption.
So through the chair, the Cruel Food Pledge is essentially, it's through the World Resources Institute. The idea is to reduce the emissions associated with our procurement of food for our services by 25% by 2030. And the idea being looking at how we procure those foods, how they travel here. So is it local food versus shipping from, you know, other countries around the world? The type of food that we serve, is it, you know, more plant-based in nature versus maybe a higher greenhouse gas emitting product? So looking at all that and being able to measure that and then identify what actions can be taken to reduce those emissions embedded within the food. So at this stage, it's really around understanding.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Paul, this group is serious. And the Cool Food Pledge from the World Resource Institute is real. And it's nuts. That's why it's in the Absurdian report. Now, I did cut into that clip. I suggest you go out there and watch it. You can just type in Toronto C40 City, no meat for you, and you'll find it. And if you can't, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll get you a copy. So if you watch these people that were testifying before the council, it seemed like they were also nervous defending this new plan because they, like all of us, know in their hearts that it's absolutely wrong to control people to this level. Now, I understand in society we all have to comply to a certain degree, like we all have to drive on the right side of the road and we all have to stop at stop signs and we all have to respect the property of others when we're in stores. You know, that somebody owns that material in there and you have to pay for it. These are the things where we must comply if we're going to have a stable society. But it seems like it's almost upside down. Now we have these roving bands of pop-up hoodlums that go in there and just pilfer stores. We're hearing those stories all the time. And all this craziness is happening. But I'm telling you, folks, this is real. Yet it's absurd. They come up with these rules telling people to eat bugs or eat vegan when we know that the most nutrient-dense food in the world is meat. And then it made me think their motto may be meat for me, but not for thee. Amen. But I have to keep moving, folks. And right now, it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
Now, I know that last week I promised sharing a bibliography of some very important books to help you all better understand this open conspiracy and what's going on here, but that's going to have to wait because my oldest and one of my closest friends and my soon-to-be new homesteading neighbor, and I'll call him Rick when everybody else calls him Rich because that's what he used to be called, he brought this very important video to my attention. And it's about a man named John Davis who claims to be the reincarnated, I can't even say this without laughing, but this John Davis claims to be the reincarnated John the Apostle.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Paul, I'm serious. And he has a website called John the New. Now, I'm giving you a warning, folks. This is false teaching coming from a false prophet. Now, folks, the spiritual or metaphysical realm is very real, but the truth is, and this is the truth, that many seemingly positive or good spiritual experiences are actually demonic. Remember, St. Paul wrote the following to the Galatians in chapter 1, about verses 6 through 9, and I'm just going to paraphrase it here. And he opens by saying, I can't believe how you waver, how easily you've turned traitor to him, that's Jesus, who called you by the grace of Jesus Christ, by embracing an alternative message. And it isn't a minor variation that he's upset about here. It's a complete new gospel. It's an alien message, a lie about God. And the people that are pushing this, they're provoking agitation among the believers, turning the message of Jesus Christ on its head. And so he says, I want to be blunt. If one of you, even if you're an angel from heaven, preach something other than what we preached originally, and that is Christ crucified, and we're saved by the blood of the Lamb, let him be cursed. And I said it again, and I'll say it again. If anyone, regardless of their reputation or credentials, preaches something other than that which you received originally, which is Christ crucified, praise the Lord, let him be cursed. So I listened to this John Davis interview, folks, and he was on a YouTube channel hosted by Alex Ferrari, a New Ager. And then I checked out, like I said, I checked out Davis's page, John of New, J-O-N. And I'm telling you this, folks, both John Davis and Alex Ferrari are not Bible-believing Christians. Both of them are embracing what's known as the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Christ gospel, if you want to, which comes from theosophy. And theosophy is a false gospel. It's a way of thinking that comes from what's known as a familiar or friendly spirit, not the Holy Spirit. And you can see it in Hinduism, and you can see it in some of the other religions of the world, where they push Christ, little c. Christ is just another little c Christ, like Buddha, Muhammad, and some of the other spiritual masters. So the Lord Jesus Christ, in the eyes of these theosophists and people like John Davis and Alex Ferrari, are nothing but a lie. And if you want to understand this heresy in more detail, there's an excellent video that Sister Kathy sent me. A shout out to Sister Kathy. And it's done by Spencer Smith. And you can find it over on his website or his YouTube channel, Spencer Smith. If you can't find it, just let me know and I'll send you a copy. And I have to keep moving for the sake of time. And right now it's time for our Back to the Future episode. Welcome to Back to the Future, folks, where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. And today, let's wind the clock back to 1884. That's the year AIEE, the American Institute of Electrical Engineers, was founded by Norvin Green, who was their first president from 1884 to 1885. Now, he was the president of Western Union, which was a telegraph company at the time, an electrical engineer in his own right, and he founded this group. And then in 1912, their rival group, the Institute of Radio Engineers, was formed. Now, although the IAEE was initially larger, the IRE started to attract more and more students and graduates of the electrical engineering discipline and became larger than the original group in the 50s. And then in 1963, the AIEE and the IRE were merged to make the IEEE, or the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers. Now, this IEEE is a group that I've actually have some papers from our company published in with regard to electrical insulation for high voltage generation and high power electric motors. And this is a professional association for electronics engineering, electrical engineering, and other related disciplines. And they have their corporate office in New York City, and they have an operations center in another town over in Jersey. I forget the name of the town right now. So I want to change gears for a moment. So we went to the science, and you have to look at some of the people that were in the founding period of these groups. They included people like Nikola Tesla, some of the others are, Edison, Westinghouse, and then dig into their backgrounds and their beliefs on spiritualism a little bit. Now, I want to shift gears right now. I want to talk about what's known as occult electricity, and the word occult just means hidden or unknown. Now, with the advent of these groups and the formation of the IEEE, I'm going to say that material science has finally caught up with what the occult sciences have known for about six millennia. And that is the fact that this electricity is a very tangible yet mysterious phenomenon. So it possesses some of the properties of ordinary matter, yet material science has no definite conception of the real nature of electricity. Did you know that, folks? Same applies to magnetism. So here I am, a science guy, you know. I've spent 9 years after high school studying science, physics, chemistry, mathematics, electricity and magnetism, particle physics, wave theory. What is it? What is light? A particle or a wave? These are some of the mysteries, and that's the same thing that applies to electricity. Yet neither is a mystery to the occult sciences, which have for 6,000 years taught the real nature and origin of these forces from thousands of years ago. Now, I'm proposing that the power elite, the cabal, call them what you may, have known this from the inception of the IEEE and all the way back to the formation of the American Institute of Electrical Engineers. Remember, we talked on this show during the onset of the scamdemic about how electromagnetism actually caused some of the influenza epidemics. And we talked about that book, The Rainbow. What was it? I'm going to talk about that next week again. I think it's time to bring that up. So we're going to bring that Rainbow book back up. I just don't have that on the tip of my mind right now. But nonetheless, it has been known for millennia what is actually the truth. And the truth is that this force, that, you know, we've got semantics here, and we've got the fact that the National Institute of Science has said there's nothing but matter and matter in motion. So you get into some very dicey things here when you try to quantify some of this without another realm. The paranormal in the occult circles, what do you want to call it? The spiritual realm in the Bible. Jesus says you come in and out of this realm through me. I'm the gatekeeper. Some call it the paranormal, like I said. Others call it the spiritual realm. Call it what you may, folks, but it's real. So the scientists have been trying to sidestep some of these semantic difficulties they have by saying that electricity doesn't exist in and of itself, but only as a phenomena arising from it. And I know this sounds like doublespeak, and that's because it is. So like the scientific definition of energy, the ability to do work, we have this concept in terms of trying to quantify electricity as some really crazy thinking. Now, anyways, folks, we have this definition of electricity, okay? And it's inadequate when you have matter and the motion of matter and nothing else to talk about. Okay, yeah, sure, we've defined some things like current and charge, voltage, amperage, field. Yet, unfortunately, none of this gets us any closer to answering what this mysterious force known as electricity and also as magnetism actually are. And some thinking scientists get very upset about this. And I read one electrical engineer who wrote, electricity is a mysterious, incomprehensible entity, which is invisible and visible both at the same time. When electricity flows through a light bulb's filament, it gets changed entirely into light. Yet here's the rub, folks. Not one bit of electricity is ever used up by that light bulb, and every last bit of it flows out of that filament and back into the other wire to complete the circuit. So we've learned something at least about electricity, and it is that electricity produces these various effects. One of them is illumination with a light bulb. Another one is work out of an electric motor. But it's a mysterious, incomprehensible entity. That is incomprehensible to material science, folks. And that's the truth. But not to occult science, which has known about it for thousands and thousands of years. Now, the occult sciences teach that electricity and magnetism are two aspects of this same mysterious force. And that's the truth here. That's the truth. So even with our censored modern science, we have the acknowledgement that electrical charge in motion causes a magnetic field. And I learned that. You know, you kind of take your right hand and you curl your fingers and you point your thumb, and that's direction of the flow of electricity. And then around that wire, the flow of the magnetism. So it's unknown in a sense, but it's comprehensible in another. And that's been the narrative in material science to date, yet the sciences of the occult agree with one thing. And you need more than mere mental intellectual capabilities to get all this. You need other senses. You need an awakening of the higher self. Now, we call that getting born again in Christianity. And folks, I am not an occultist. I am a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, but I tell you, just like C.S. Lewis did, this stuff where you see these convergences of truth from the various disciplines, that's the Tao, folks, and it all points to the ultimate truth, which is Jesus Christ. So you need this higher force to this higher self to understand this higher force that they call the Fohat, or the intelligent cosmic electricity, with a capital E, distinguishing it from the manifestations we have here in magnetism and electricity. Now, the occultists say that this Fohat is found in all of life and separates the primordial substances, the pre-genetic matter, into atoms, which are the source of all life and consciousness. Now, stay with me here because I know it's getting kind of weird, but in this material plane, the occultists teach that the light, flame, cold flame, fire, heat, water, you know, the four elements, what do they call it? Wind, fire, water, and air, or wind, fire, water, and earth. That's it. You know, when I started reading all this stuff in the occult sciences, it started to remind me of what St. Paul said in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. And it's best rendered in the NIV. So let me read it out of there. For in him, that's Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So we know that this electricity or this magnetism is some sort of phenomenon. Here on earth, we actually use it, but we don't understand it. Okay, we truly don't. So somehow ordinary matter is being affected by the invisible realm. And the source is said by the occultists to be this Fohat, this omnipresent force, more like the force of the Star Wars series. But the Bible rightly identifies this force as the person, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. So heat, light, electricity, magnetism aren't causes, but they're the effects of, call this force, the Fohat of the New Agers, the one true and living God, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, of true believers, the Christians. So the New Agers refer to this as a personified electric power, but they say it's not a personal God, and that's where they're wrong. This is Jesus who holds it all together. He spoke it into existence, and now he holds it together. That's the string theory that they're trying to complete. That's the boson particle of the CERN program. This gets in to this this realm of the metaphysical, folks, and we're being told that there's nothing but matter and the motion of matter. What a lie, folks. Now, here's where it gets really deep. If you take everything we've talked about today, and if you take the things that I've talked about in the past concerning the triune nature of man, the spirit, the soul, and the body, the spirit being the lamp of the Lord, giving light to our souls, which are our mind, our wills, and our emotions, and then our bodies, which are actually these vessels that we reside in right now, spiritual beings having a physical experience for a season. Then you start to understand what's going on here. They have been denying this life force that comes from Jesus, this aura. You know, Jesus said, don't put your light under a basket. Why did he say that, folks? Because this is essential for us to have union with the Lord. And what are the demoniacs trying to do? What are all these agents of Satan trying to do? They're trying to cut us off from our source, our creator, the Holy Spirit, who Jesus promised he'd send us to lead us into knowledge of all truth. Now, here's where it gets freaky deaky in terms of the news that's out there right now. I'm going to play this clip, and it's titled A Simulation Framework for Connecting In-Body Nano Communications with Out-of-Body Devices. This is what Sabrina Wallace was talking about, and this is known as MICS, the acronym standing for Medical Implant Communication Systems. So let's listen to this electrical engineering student give this description of the simulation framework for connecting in-body nano communications with out-of-body devices. And thank you for pointing me out to this, Sabrina. This was on her website.
My name is Anke, and I'm going to talk about a simulation framework for connecting in-body nano communication with out-of-body devices. I also wrote my bachelor thesis on this topic, and I'm still a bachelor student at Paderborn University. To get into the topic, I created an introduction video. Why do we even need a simulation framework for connecting in-body nano communication with out-of-body devices? This year, a virus called COVID-19 has turned all our lives upside down. If you look at the Spanish flu, COVID-19 was not the first virus that caused the pandemic. What was or is the biggest problem of this pandemic? The problem is mainly time. We are currently not able to develop new medicines or vaccines fast enough. This is due to the fact that a lot of testing is needed to see how the drugs affect the virus, because at the beginning of such a pandemic, little is known about it. So imagine if known technologies such as sensors were used not only outside the human body but inside as well. This would mean that we could gain a much better understanding of the body's processes and thus be able to act faster and more efficiently. In order to gather data or to even send commands to sensors, we need to build up a network between the sensors within the body. And further, we need an interface to be able to communicate to devices outside of the body. Since carrying out experiments on humans could be life-threatening, we decided to develop a simulation framework. Within this simulation framework, we need to simulate the physical environment. For this, we used BloodWire.js. BloodWire.js was implemented as an S3 module by some people of the University of Lübeck, including Regina. It is a simplified model of the cardiovascular system of a human body, and it also simulates nanobots moving around in it. Based on the position of the nanobots, we created a communication paradigm called proximity approach, which I will explain in more detail on the next slide. Here you can see the whole framework. It consists of four parts, and BloodWire.js is one of them. The other three parts are communication paradigms, and two of them are implemented in an abstract way, which can later be exchanged by a more realistic paradigm. The connection that was implemented realistic is the connection between smart device and gateway. This connection uses the wireless personal area network standard, which has also an implementation in NS3. On top of this connection, we build an application layer to be able to address nanobots. So the second connection is the connection between gateway and nanobots. For this connection, we used a proximity approach. If the nanobot is in the left heart chamber, it can copy a packet from the gateway because the gateway is positioned on the left chest. So they can only exchange packets when they are in the communication range of each other. Same holds for the nanobots, but between nanobots, we can only exchange packets if we are in the communication range of 1 centimeter to each other. In a first evaluation, we send a packet from the smart device to the nanobots at a point in the simulation when the nanobot distribution is only changing slightly anymore. We also decided to let...
Okay, she's boring, but I hope you got the point there, folks. There's some crazy stuff going on with our technology, and it ties into a book that I'm going to talk about next week, probably in Ken's Corner, provided the Lord's willing. It's titled The Invisible Rainbow by Arthur Furstenberg, and I think it ties in everything we just heard this woman talking about, what I shared with you in Back to the Future concerning the occult science of electricity, our aura, and the IEEE group, which I think is trying to destroy our aura. I truly believe that's the case. So, we heard about all of this. The framework is going to bridge the gap between in-body nanocom and out-of-body area networks known as bands. We heard about the mics that I talked about, that Sabrina Wallace is talking about, the medical implant communication systems that have been around since the 90s. And I had a partner in my business early on who owned a company called Compunetics. You can look this up. It's out there, folks. I'm not making this up. And they were working on injectable nanobots for medical appliances 20 years ago. So I am contending that today we have nanobots flowing freely in our blood system. I think we are totally tracked. And their mobility can be modeled by this technology called Blood Voyager S modules. I know this all sounds really crazy stuff, but this is real stuff brought to you by a working group over at IEEE. And more on that next week too, folks. This is stuff that needs to be talked about, yet no one like Mike Adams and Stu Peters and Maria Z, none of them are talking about this. And you have to ask yourself why. I'm telling you, people are being lied to by these false prophets in the alt media and their minion. We've got the mainstream, first of all, but I think it's even starting to creep into the alt media and now even our churches. And this is what's so very sad about all this, folks. We have to be wise, as gentle as lambs, but as wise as serpents. So last week we talked about discerning the difference between truth and facts. And the Bible tells us that we're to prize the truth, we're to purchase the truth, and we're to preserve the truth. So we must, folks, prize or treasure the truth. And that's because truth is indispensable, and it's absolutely, totally indispensable. It's invaluable. Think about it, folks. Why did God write the good book that we call the Bible? Now, it's actually a collection of 66 very good individual books. And the Bible itself calls itself, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the word of truth. So why has the Holy Spirit come? Well, in the Bible, he's called the Spirit of Truth. Who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah? Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what's his church called? Well, Paul tells us in his first letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 15, and by the way, there's references to all those other ones I just cited too. The Bible calls the church the pillar and the ground of truth. So what did the Apostle John say when he wrote his epistle? He said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. And folks, I share that joy with St. John. Not John, the apostle, not this false prophet that we talked about in Ken's Corner, but the true apostle John. Now, isn't the truth what all parents want their children to get a hold of? I'm telling you, there's no greater joy than when somebody finally opens their eyes to the truth. I know my sister-in-law, Sue, would love it if her daughters would wake up to the truth. Plus, in addition to being such a rich treasure, the truth is absolute. In mathematics, truth is absolute. 2 plus 2 is 4, regardless of what Big Brother says in 1884. In mechanics, truth is absolute. A wheel bearing must have a certain absolute tolerance or else it won't fit on the wheel hub. And think about modern medicine before it got woke. It's absolute in medicine that if you have an XY chromosome, you're a man. Or if you have a YY, I think it is, you're a woman. Yet today, they don't even know what they're talking about. So what happened there? I remember last week we had that interview with the supposed scientist, Neil deGrasse Tyson. He was on the Piers Morgan show, who sounded more like the scientist than Tyson did, as Tyson tried to become an apologist, a false prophet, a false teacher for these slippery transgender narratives, which are coming from nowhere but the pits of hell. Now, again, in verse 23 of Psalm 23, Proverbs 23, the writer says, buy the truth and sell it not. So buy the truth, folks. Now, salvation's free, but we have to pay a price for the truth. Truth is costly, and that's the truth. So sell anything else, but never sell the truth. In Titus 1 verse 9, St. Paul wrote, holding fast to the faithful word. Jude, verse 3, earnestly contend for the faith that is once for all delivered unto the saints. So the point I'm trying to make here is that we have to guard against those who would deny the Bible as the ultimate truth. I'm telling you, folks, it's an open war on the Word of God today, and we have to guard against those who would distort the truth. And I'm looking at the clock right now, and I'm out of time. So what I'd like to do is just tell you that next week, we're going to look at what's authentic and what's real. And I'm telling you, in truth, there's only two kind of religions out there in the world. The religion that divides the world and recognizes everybody's unique virtue or value, I should say. And then the one true religion, the gospel of the cross, which doesn't care about our values, but wants us to cling to the virtues of his righteousness. So this may be a good place to stop. I think I'm going to stop right here today, and we'll pick this up tomorrow because I have quite a bit more material I want to cover on these false teachers, and I, like I said, am simply out of time. Folks, I love you all, and I hope you're getting something out of these messages and cling to this truth and stand on that rock of truth we call Jesus Christ. And know that you know that you know. And in the words of Winston Churchill, never give in, no, never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
As we do every week, folks, let's remember that that same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, lives in you and me if we simply surrender to Jesus and then trust him as we obey him. Folks, let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp and praise the Lord. That same spirit lives in you and me. I love y'all.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word.
The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when we speak, the same power that can call the raging sea.
change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11, it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus. Oh,